Lions fans. It's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions Podcast. Your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, two guys who run a 4-minute 40. Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy-ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast, episode 304. This is the official Detroit Lions Podcast for Reddit. I am your dashing host, Chris. And with me are two of the most gorgeous men in the world, T.O. and The Riz. How you guys doing? I'm talking about you, Tony. You know.
No comment. Oh, eyesight, God. Those glasses, you might need to get them tweaked, but thank you.
All right. We got a lot to talk about today. I got the Lions-Panthers preview. We're going to do an injury report. We have some Vegas lines, some predictions, a whole lot more. We got a great show lined up. Ready to go there, Riz? Your audio went away, but he said yes, I promise.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, a couple of quick announcements. First, check us out and help us out on Patreon. Very special thanks to Dylan from... Oh, it looks like you did a good one.
He did. He did, and we couldn't hear him.
He worked for it just moments ago. You were working, right? All right, we'll keep going. Yeah, go on. Of course, the very first owner, Mathis, Brian B. from My Prevail. All the guys, everybody's hanging out there. Wisco Boiler, one of the funniest guys you'll ever meet. Just ask him. He's got some great memes. Fun stuff. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Hang out with us. Go to the Slack chat, the number one rated Slack chat in the world. It is the most intelligent Lions Slack chat or chat anywhere in the internet as well. So how do you do that? Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. As little as $1 a month in donations. Not only does that help us go to the Senior Bowl, but it helps us, you know, do all the great stuff that we do. And it gets you the Slack chat. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Give us a like on Facebook, Facebook.com/The Detroit Lions Podcast. Facebook.com/The Detroit Lions Podcast. Instagram, Detroit Lions Podcast. And on the Twitter, DET Lions Podcast. Go over, follow us right now at DET Lions Podcast. That way you can see the Riz with... No microphone on. You might want to check your audio inputs. They probably changed somewhere in Windows. I will absolutely react when you say something.
Yeah.
All right. Subscribe to us on YouTube, youtube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast or youtube.com/DLP clips. When you don't have the time, we still got the time for you. Nice little clips for you to watch, but the show and a lot of other stuff. We're doing like, it's kind of like the 12 days of Christmas, Tony. We're releasing segments from the 24-hour show for folks because, let's face it, watching for a full 24 hours, it was hard enough to do to watch that long. Whew, I don't know if anybody's got that kind of heart. So we're putting in interesting clips with the different things. Dan and Jim were released right away. I wanted to ask you about Carissa Thompson before we started. Maybe I can do it afterwards.
Okay.
All right. Check it out. YouTube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Good stuff there. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, iHeart, Pandora, Amazon, all those places. They love us. They got us. We're there. Give us a 5-star review. If you can't give us 5 stars, let us know why in the subreddit, and we'll be happy to change things up to make sure that you can get to a place where you can, in your kindest of hearts, drop those 5 stars. Like Tony did.
I did. I did.
He's like, why are you handing me that? You could say anything and you hand me this. Just call me a Skype Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word. Detroit Lions Podcast, or call us on the Lions line at 929-33-LIONS, 929-335-4667. Leave us a message. Get a chance to hear yourself on the show.
Hey, Riggs.
Tighten your chin straps, kids. It's time to review this week in Reddit.
Hey, Chris, can I say something to Riz real fast?
Sure, sure.
On my screen, he's got his little red mute button on. So maybe the red mute button in Reddit or in Zoom is on. Yeah. But it just flashed. It just popped up just before you hit the bumper.
Let me see. I can ask to unmute.
Nope, that didn't work either. Thought I figured that out. Never mind.
He turned it off somewhere else while it was muted in Zoom. He turned it off somewhere else. Don't worry, Riz. We're professional. That seemed like a familiar motion. Sometimes the video version is a better version to watch. All right. You keep doing your thing. You can just keep talking. Talk over us. And once you do, we'll all celebrate together, as I promise. And yes. In the meantime, your machinations will be fun to see. All right. Let's see. Let's get right into it. Somewhere along the way, I put all the important things for this. Oh, wait. Did you mumble? Did you say something, right? All right. Let's first start off. Don't forget about the post-game show. We've got the post-game show right after the Lions game. It'll be Sandman and I, as usual, doing our thing. Let's start off with a preview of the Lions and Panthers series. There's not a whole lot of history here, Tony. I know you are a longtime Carolina fan. grew up in Charlotte. I don't know.
I grew up a little north of Charlotte. Let me put it that way.
Series history. We first met the Panthers in the darkest days of 1999, ahead of the year 2K bug, when everyone was terrified the world was going to fall apart. We've played each other 9 times since then. Last time we met was in 2018. Overall, the Lions' record is a whopping. Now, this is an expansion team, right? So you would think that we would do it pretty 3-6. 3-6 against the Panthers. 2-1 at home and 1-5 in Carolina. So maybe it's better to be home for this one. The one win in Carolina we had was in 1999, the first time we played them.
Wow.
Yeah. Let's see. They've outscored us 217-187, which leaves like an average game score of 24-21. So with the extensive history that the two teams have between us, there's not a lot more to talk about. There's not a real big rivalry here. I remember a game at Ford Field. Gosh, was it during the Schwartz era? There was something that happened that gave me a bad taste in my mouth about the Panthers, but I can't remember what it was. Nothing like the Seahawks and their chop block on Tyron Walker. I will forever despise. I hate Pete Carroll because. Sorry, I'm going to go on a jag here.
Go ahead, by all means.
I would normally like Pete Carroll as a coach in the whole thing, but I have so little respect for him for what he did at USC, and then when the punishment came, he didn't feel any of the punishment. He's just like, okay, I gotta go, and he took a pro job. And I'm like, this is the cheesiest, most, you know, the worst thing you could do. These kids in college working, you know, hoping, you know, the dream to make the NFL, you hose it up, no bowl games for them, the whole thing, and you pay no price for it at all. That really frustrated me about him. We lost Riz. Okay, we'll do it this way. You'll be Riz for a moment, okay? And
okay.
I'll fix it here in the meantime. So anyway, I was not a big fan of Pete Carroll for that reason, because I feel like he needs to pay the price for his misdeeds. Am I a bad person for thinking that way?
No, you're not at all, because that was the one thing that surprised me. Reggie Bush paid for his misdeeds, but you didn't see Pete Carroll pay for those misdeeds. And the funny thing is, there's a great documentary about Pete Carroll's time at USC, 30 for 30 on ESPN, called The Trojan War. And it's just outstanding to see how great that program was, and then just to watch it tumble off the side of the cliff after Pete Carroll left. Former Lion Lawrence Jackson is just an amazing alumni of USC, and he will tell you stories about how great those teams were, how much talent they had. At some points, he thought that they rivaled an NFL team with the kind of talent they had at USC.
Yeah, crazy. Hey, I have to thank Floundericious. He just hit us with $71 more for St. Nice. Jude. Thank you, sir. Yeah, he's been killing it. He's been laying it down a couple bucks at a time. We're of course, we're at 17-4, 69-69. If you've seen the St. Jude auction, you'll see that. Let me see if I can get here. We have a number. We have a DeAndre Swift ball. It's at 106-69 right now. Jeff Okuda ball, it's a bargain, and this is one that I was keeping my eye on. I shouldn't have said anything, but it's at 36-69. A Galladay color rush jersey, 78-69 is the bid right now. Everybody, I don't know what it is. Regular Galladay signed jersey, 81-69. Mini helmet, 30-69, and then the Barry Sanders, of course, a classy guy. His lithograph is at 14 even. So there we go. No 69 for Barry. That's
No.
I'm not. It sounds like I cursed him.
Because you know what's going to happen now. Yeah. Somebody's going to put in a bid that's going to end in 69. You know that's coming. By the way, I wish Riz was here for this because I am not a huge fan of the Lions color rush jerseys. Mm-mm. I am not. I'm sorry. I've grown to love the throwbacks from the 50s, deep, rich blue, especially the ones Nike did. And I think those are terrific, but still can't get behind the color rush. My son loves them. In fact, he has a Stafford jersey with it, but I can't get behind it.
Yeah, that's Riz has an unhappy look on his face. He just came back.
This thing better be working. Can you hear me?
All right. Riz, I was just saying, I'm not a big fan of the Lions color rush jerseys.
I like the jerseys. I do not like the pants. The pants look like seventh grade gym class sweatpants, but I like everything else about it. I love the silver jersey. I actually wish it was a little bit more glisteny silvery, but I'm happy with it.
It's too gray for me. And the numbers are so hard to see. That's one of the things that I really dislike about it too. So I don't know. That's we can find all kinds.
I hate the blue pants more than anything else. The blue pants that they all wear short with the white stripes on the side. Those are the worst. Yeah. I'd rather have black.
There are definitely more important things to pick on this team than the jerseys and. Let's get into it. We'll start off. Tony, we were talking beforehand, the injury report this week. On a week where we're playing a team that it feels like we got a real good shot at, injury report hits, and boy, does this hamstring our plans.
Yeah, no DeAndre Swift because of the concussion that he sustained on, at least it popped up on the injury report on Thursday. There's still a bit of a question as to when exactly he was concussed, but he's out. He's in the concussion protocols. Danny Amendola and Kenny Galladay both officially out with hip injuries. Going back to Swift for a second, hey, Riz, if he can't play Sunday and with the quick turnaround 3 days later on Thanksgiving, there's probably a good shot that Swift doesn't play on Thanksgiving against the Houston Texans either.
That's a very real possibility because, remember, to clear concussion protocol, you have to practice once without contact and then practice the next day with contact and come up asymptomatic for concussions both days. They're only going to have one full practice. He'll be able to do the run through on Monday, but if he's not ready on Tuesday, he won't be ready on Thursday.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yep. So there you go. Hey Riz, I think you're talking through the mic on your laptop rather than the mic in your hand.
Well, that's
so you can go back to the visuals.
All right. That thing's a piece of dung. I'll do my best to enunciate properly.
Oh, you always do. You're a model for all of us. That injury report that looks ugly. Swift not playing and then not playing on, and he had just made such a great impression. His injury is a head injury, isn't it?
Brain injury.
That's no good.
No.
Oh God, I got killed with hamstring our plans. I shouldn't have said that in the chat. All right, and did you hit the Carolina? I was doing a little production in the background. The Carolina injury report.
Yeah, Teddy Bridgewater is questionable, so that's a big one. Russell Okung is out.
Yes.
Doubtful to out, so he's not going to play. That's big. And Christian McCaffrey, obviously, he was ruled out earlier in the week. It's now official. He's out as well. So, you know, Stafford's questionable. Bridgewater's questionable. We're thinking it might be Stafford versus Bridgewater. It could end up being Chase Daniel versus P.J. Walker on Sunday for your quarterback matchup, which is kind of frightening.
It is. And another big injury, their starting right guard, John Miller, is doubtful. He's unlikely to play based on I did a Panthers-centric podcast last night, and the guys were very open about it. They don't think Teddy's playing, and they really don't think that Miller is playing. So that's two-fifths of their starting offensive line. Oh, by the way, the two best fifths of their starting offensive line will be out.
Right, which is just what our defense needs, right?
It can't hurt. just on their injury report, also, old friend Tahir Whitehead is questionable with a rib injury.
Oh, wow. We were really hoping to see him.
I had forgotten he was with Carolina. Last I remembered, he was with the Oakland Raiders, Las Vegas Raiders, and now he's with Carolina.
And he's still the same guy. He will make some plays, but he will let some plays go. They're better with him than without him because they just don't have a lot of depth. So,
I want to ask something of you, Tony. We had this conversation earlier in the week, Riz and I, and now that you're here, you're always good for this sort of thing. We're talking about DeAndre Swift and the idea that he had some time to grow early this season because he didn't get that many reps. We also talked about Kamara almost being on his own kind of a pitch count throughout his career, and he's been able to extend it for a longer period of time than many, many running backs. You're seeing, for example, Christian McCaffrey start to break down with the number of reps that he's been as a bell cow, right? You've seen it across the league, guys taking that wear and tear. Now, of course, the whole thing gets thrown in the toilet because he takes a brain injury, and it wrecks, you know, the whole theory we had. But that aside, the fact that he got to kind of get his preseason early in the season, not take so many reps, not get so much laid upon him, get his confidence kind of in a good spot, keeps him fresh for the second half of the year as well. That seems like a good plan up until the injury report.
Yeah, it did. And here's the thing that helped him out as well. He did not necessarily need to walk in and be the man from day one because he had an Adrian Peterson, because there was still Kerryon Johnson. The one thing that Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn have done well is they have not relied on one back. They have gone with, and I hate to say this phrase, the Patriot way with running backs, which is they churn through two or three, and there's not one, as you called it, bell cow. And I think that really helped DeAndre Swift because it gave him a chance to really take his time to learn the offense, take his time to get used to the NFL game, and now you're starting to see the dividends up until the concussion this week. But I like the track he's on at this point. Let me put it that way.
And Riz, we talked about it. I mean, had the load been completely and entirely on him, the Chicago game, right, the pass that he didn't turn around and he got hit in between the shoulder blades with, he truly looked hurt. You know, it weighed on him in the moment. You could see his face. I mean, and it's one thing his facial expressions, I don't want to say are transparent, but boy, you can read a lot from him, from his face. Those kind of things without an opportunity to kind of recover and get his head back could really have been a problem for him. So I think, what do you think? You think the extra time off helped him get his head straight and get into the game as well?
Yeah, I just think that not having that level of pressure on him really helps a lot. I think Peterson's presence as a veteran who's been through a lot and who has mentored some other good running backs in the past and willingly does so has been a big asset for DeAndre Swift too.
Yeah, absolutely. You got Adrian Peterson out there, according to Flounder Riches. He's saying, telling reporters that he told coaches what took you so long when he was replaced as the starter. That's something
That's completely in character for AD, too.
Yeah, I intensely disliked him in Minnesota, right? And you see him here and the mentorship he's doing. What a great guy. What a really, really great guy he's turned out to be.
And Chris, it's incumbent on the Lions to get him back next year.
Yeah.
Re-sign him, get him back. But here's the thing, and my opinion here, if you bring him back and with DeAndre Swift the way it is, I think the writing's on the wall for Kerryon Johnson at this point. Maybe you bring him back, but I would think in this offseason, Kerryon Johnson probably will be suiting up for another team in 2021. Again, my opinion here.
Yeah. I think this is going to be a real important game for Kerryon, to be honest.
This is a chance for him to show out because the Panthers do not stop the run all that well. And there's, I mean, with the pass game devastated with Galladay and Amendola out, they're going to want to replace Amendola's production, and that's going to come from the running backs, and that's Kerryon specifically. And that's, he's got a chance to really make some hay this week. Let's hope he does it.
Yeah. All right. We'll keep going here. We'll move forward. I want to ask one quick question of Tony, though, even though this isn't relevant to this week. We really don't have many cold games left this year. There's the Chicago game in the beginning of December, but otherwise it's all, you know, indoors or at home. What about US Bank Stadium at the end of this season? Is the wind chill there going to be as thick and hard as it was in the Metrodome? I think it's a key variable because that game, it could be really important for us.
Listen, I haven't been to US Bank Stadium, so I'm going to assume that they don't have the same airflow problem that the Metrodome did, where you opened a couple of doors and you could feel the wind coming in. Here's my question. Where were these NFL schedule makers when I was doing sidelines? Because it seemed like every year there was a game in Chicago or a game in Minnesota or a game in Green Bay in December.
Right.
Every single blanking year, I was in Chicago, Green Bay, or Minnesota freezing my butt off in December.
I remember closing every year in Green Bay, it seemed like.
Oh, my God. The Matt Flynn game was terrible weather. I mean, it was icy. It was cold. It was brutal. And then Nate Burleson shows up without a shirt. Go figures. He just walked out and practiced. Hey, it's great weather. I'm without a shirt. Like, really, dude, I'm looking like in the nook of the north, and you're out here without a shirt.
No, once you're cold, though, you're there. You don't have to worry about it. Warming up and cooling off, you're better off just staying cold. I'm that way when I'm wet. Like, if it's raining out, I don't use an umbrella. I just get wet, and then I'm okay. I'm wet now. I'm a seal. I'm good. By the way, weather in Charlotte this weekend, 67 and cloudy, very little chance of rain and low wind. So it's going to be a pretty nice day to play some football.
Yep. Good, good. Hey, what's their field like there? How's that thing hold up? I know Arizona's always had problems with theirs, but.
I haven't heard any issues with it. I have been there, but it's been several years. I went to the whatever bowl game is there. I can't remember. In 2011 was the last time I was there. So it's been a little while.
Got it. All right, let's talk about some matchups, key matchups. Tony, we'll start with you. What are some of your the key things to watch for this game? Where do the Lions need to be successful here?
First matchup that comes to mind is Curtis Samuel, who is their gadget guy in Carolina, likely against the Lions linebackers. They use him to run the ball. They use him to catch the ball over the middle. Robbie Anderson's another matchup nightmare for the Lions, too, because he's a guy who's doing a lot of possession receiving, and he's a guy who goes over the middle. So the linebackers are going to have their heads on swivels, to use the old saying. They're going to have to be better in against the pass this week than they normally are against the run. They've got to be able to control the middle. I don't remember the tight end's name in Carolina, but he's become a favorite target. Well, if he doesn't play, Teddy Bridgewater. But it's going to be an interesting game because, again, Curtis Samuel is that gadget guy, and the Lions are going to have to really watch out for him. He ran the ball quite a bit, surprisingly, against Tampa Bay, at least in the first half of that game.
Sure. So, Riz, now knowing that we have a Hall of Fame linebacker core and Tony's talking nothing over here.
I don't know where I got that from.
Oh, man.
Those words will never ever be said again and have never been said before about this team. where's your key matchups there, Riz?
I'm looking at whoever is replacing Russell Okung at left tackle is going to have to play against Romeo Okwara, who is hot. He is moved into the top five in the NFL in pressure rate on his rushes. He's not finishing his rushes, but he is indeed creating pressure. And it's very difficult. It kind of depends on who their quarterback is. PJ Walker can run. He's a fun guy. He was the best player in the XFL. I loved him at Temple. If he was 6'2", he'd be a starting quarterback in the NFL. But he's generously listed at 5'10", and that's why he's not out there a lot. If it's Will Greer, Will Greer doesn't impress me at all. And the other thing is, so they also have 2019 draft problems. They spent their second-round pick on Greg Little, who will probably start at left tackle. But the fact that they are missing their left tackle, who they went out and got because Little wasn't ready, and they're not committing to Little being the starter, even though they're with injury issues, this is a lot about Greg Little. He's not good. So this is a matchup that Romeo has to win. He needs to finish some sacks. Remember, Trey Flowers isn't on the other side, so it's all on Okwara to get some pass rushers. So that's a big one for me. And the other one that I highlighted this in a piece that I did on Lionswire, the kickers. Matt Prater and Joey Sly are both kickers who are better from 50 than they are from 40 to 50. Now, Prater had been in a slump. He, thank God, busted out of that last weekend and got us a win, and that was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Sly is in a bit of a slump on his own. He is 0-for-4 from beyond 50 yards this year. But last year, he set the NFL record for a rookie for the most kicks over 50 yards. He just missed a 65-yarder this year. It was like it almost hit the bottom crossbar. It was that close. He's got a huge leg. Prater needs to be sharp again because I wasn't so high on Mr. Prater after missing a field goal in four straight games. He proved me wrong. Keep doing it because Sly is he's a bomber, man. He's got a massive leg. If it comes down to a field goal competition in what looks like decent conditions, I don't know that Prater has a big advantage if unless he's playing like he did last weekend.
Yeah, I gotta admit it. I was surprised by Prater's kick. I was not confident in that at all. And the fact that he boomed it the way he did, I was like, wow, okay. This is the Matt Prater we know. And you talk about a team that's been spoiled. We had Eddie Murray. Then we had
Eddie Murray was very good for a long time.
Jason yes, Hansen. And then it was like, hey, yeah, okay, cool. Jason's going to retire. That's okay. Nate Freeze, here we go. And then like, the horror show that year was, I was like, what? I've never seen a bad kicker before. What's going on? And it cost us how many games, right? That we couldn't kick the ball.
Yeah. Two for sure.
Yeah. And it was just like, I was stunned. And then we got Prater and it was like, okay, everything's good again. But I'm terrified about what happens after Matt Prater. It's just like Packers fans should be terrified after Aaron Rodgers, because if you talk about regression to the mean, they've got about 50 years of bad quarterback in ahead. And I can't wait. I can't wait.
Back to the Lynn Dickey era when Lynn Dickey was far and away their best that they had for like two decades. They went from Bart Starr to Brett Favre with nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, Don Majkowski was okay. Yeah. And he was probably the best quarterback they had in that 25-year span between those two.
And it's funny because you think about the hatred for the Packers right now amongst Lions fans. And really, and you talked about this, Tony, ahead of the Minnesota game. It really should be FTV, you know, the Vikings, because they just dominated us. And then they've been dominating us again. They've by far have a better record against us than the Packers do. The Vikings have just had our number forever.
Yeah, I remember growing up in the 70s and just hating Minnesota games against the Lions because you just knew the Lions were going to get crushed by the Vikings. And when they went to Metropolitan Stadium, you just knew it was going to be cold, but you knew the Lions were going to lose. It was just, okay, you looked at the schedule, Minnesota, LL, right there. And it happened all during the 70s. And now lately it's happening because, you know, Kirk Cousins seems to play extremely well against the Lions. It's the anti-Monday night thing for him. He doesn't play well on Monday nights except for this Monday night. And then he turns around and he looks like a world beater against the Lions. Oh, by the way, 4-5. The Vikings are right back in the playoff race in the NFC, right alongside the Lions.
Yeah, it's an interesting week. We'll talk about that, what this week could portend for the division.
I remember growing up, you know, hating Ahmad Rashad because he played for the Vikings.
Yeah. Have you gotten over that? Oh, you still do. Okay.
Mostly. I mean,
I had a nickname for him. I called him the succubus because he would suck the life out of you the winning play. That was my nickname for Ahmad Rashad.
It's interesting. It reminds me that the whole, you know, FTV versus FTP thing reminds me of Michigan and Michigan State, if you want to get real local to Michigan. When I grew up, it had been, you know, 100 years of Michigan being the champions, winning hands down, right? Michigan State was laughable, was absolutely just like laughable. And we've now seen a generation or maybe a generation and a half of people grow up where the reverse is true, right? Where the big dog Michigan has not won anything and Michigan State has. And Michigan State has put together a good team a number of times when they can play.
Yeah.
And it's it's funny because you watch people now and they're like you have a big bandwagon around Michigan State versus Michigan. Michigan kind of always carries their core, their base, right? But the kind of bandwagon-y piece is all over Michigan State right now, and I'm like, it doesn't make sense. Like all my life, the whole kind of lead up and everything I've learned up until about a decade ago was Michigan State stinks. They don't have bandwagon fans, and now everybody's all over them. And I think it's the same kind of thing, but with hatred for the Vikings versus the Packers.
It's very weird that the Lions can't beat the Vikings. That's just they haven't even been close in the Patricia era, and even before that, like the Minnesota, to their credit, has been pretty solid for the last decade or so, but not like they're not the Packers. No.
Well, wins at Ford Field have been pretty difficult in the Patricia area there as well. So, I mean, there's some things that we should be able to overcome that we're not. All right, let's. Okay, my key matchup is Matthew Stafford against his thumb. This is one of those things where I feel like he could injure it worse if he plays.
Yeah,
but it is so crucial that we have him. I mean, if he's going to miss a game, I guess Carolina of the rest of the season is the one to miss. This is the one where we talked about he could miss a couple weeks. With this injury, I guess he was throwing nice in practice, but to exacerbate the injury, you write off the season at that point, right? And then it's all in the books.
I would say this: he is most at risk of injury in handing the ball off, like getting his thumb caught in a chest plate or something like that, or having a weird exchange, more than he is throwing the football. That's going to be the big thing.
Taking a snap for me is the one where I guess he could tuck it in, but I mean, when you take a snap, right, your hands are open, much like a receiver, right? You get the thing going, and that's where that thumb could get bent back and cause the.
Yeah, so my worry is more that in the handing off in the running game, and also if he gets hit while he's still has the ball in his hand, you just physically can't pinch as hard as you used to, and that's gonna be an issue. I will say this: the Texans game is more winnable than this game without Stafford on Thanksgiving. Houston's terrible. They're really bad. They've only beaten Jacksonville and took them to overtime the first time. So if there is a week for Stafford to miss, it's not this one. It's following this one and then getting the full 2 weeks off. And it wouldn't surprise me if that's why Amendola is sitting right now and why Galladay is sitting. Because I think they realize that if they can't win without all of those guys, but like if Stafford's out, you're going to need Galladay and Amendola. Right. If Stafford's in, he can probably beat Carolina without those guys. That's my wackadoodle thinking on this whole thing. I'm trying to play the 4D chess here. Not that Patricia is doing that, but that's my thought of why Amendola and Galladay are out this week and why you might see them back next week. But if Stafford gets hurt, they still have a fair chance to beat Houston even without Stafford. Sure.
No one's here to whack your doodle, but that is some crazy thinking. let's talk about some of the keys to the game here. Talked about some of the matchups. Tony, what is it? What's the key focus for this team this week?
I'll say for both teams, the running games are going to be critical. With the quarterbacks being questionable, and even if Bridgewater and Stafford play, they are not 100%. So if you're the Panthers and you're the Lions, you want to control time of possession, which means you want to run the ball either behind Adrian Peterson, or if you're the Panthers, behind Mike Davis, who, by the way, is a very good running back and a guy
good player.
You have to keep an eye on him. He's good in the passing game as well as the running game. So to me, whoever controls time of possession, whoever gets their running game going and can run downhill and make that critical yardage, that's the team that's going to win this game. I would favor the Lions in this respect, but that's the one thing I'm looking for. This could be, by the way, guys, a 2.5-hour game if both these teams run the ball as much as I think they're going to do Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh, that's glorious. I got to watch. So the Browns played the Texans last weekend, and their game was delayed 40 minutes at the start because they had lightning and hail and inclement weather conditions. That game, because nobody was throwing the ball because there was 30 to 40 mile an hour winds all day, wound up being the first game done even after the 40 minute delay.
Really? Wow.
You're right, Tony. This could be a game like that where because they're the passing games are going to be limited. You're going to see a lot of running the ball. They also like to throw the ball out of the backfield to Davis, and he's a very good receiver. If he's getting isolated against Jelani Tavai or Christian Jones, we have a problem. If he's isolated against Jamie Collins, we have much less of a problem. So there's going to be a lot of – and Carolina does do a good job of pre-snap motioning, setting guys up to dictate matchups. Let's hope that the Lions are savvy on that and don't get caught where Jelani Tavai has to cover a running, or God forbid, Curtis Samuel in man coverage coming out of the backfield, because that ain't going to work.
Yeah. I will say, Davis is, he's a lot better than people realize. You hear, oh, McCaffrey's out, we're in good shape. Oh, no. Just anecdotally, a fantasy, where we did a dynasty league, number one pick overall, I landed. I really hate getting the first pick overall, but I'm like, it's obvious. Yes. You take Christian McCaffrey and off you go. Injured. He was great, and then he's injured right away, right? I'd handcuffed him and picked up Davis. Davis is scoring just as many points as McCaffrey.
He's good.
All year long. So he's the guy absolutely that we have to stop, and that's going to be it's going to be a tough one because that guy, he can move. He can play. He can score. So
let's see. I'm deathly worried of Curtis Samuel on crossing routes and getting, you know, whether he's coming out of the slot, coming out of the backfield, coming out of wide, and they motion him across a trips formation or something like that. The Lions defense loses guys in that all the time. You cannot lose Curtis Samuel because there's not a guy in this defense who can catch him.
Yep.
They've got to be aware of that. They got to be on top of it. Make tackles after the catch. That's something that Jeff Okuda is great at, That's something that nobody else in the secondary is great at. it's going to be one of the matchups, obviously, is Robbie Anderson against Omani Oruwariye.
Yep.
It's going to be a big one for me, too, to watch.
Yeah.
This is a situation where I really wonder what they're going to do at quarterback if Bridgewater doesn't play, because it's a very different dynamic if Will Grier plays or if PJ Walker plays. Walker can run. He's got some Kyler Murray to him. He's not obviously low grade Kyler Murray, but has those sorts of skills. Will Grier is more like, I'm trying to think, like Nick Foles, but not as sexy, if that makes any sense. That's sort of my impression of Will Grier. Mm-hmm. So I kind of hope that they play him, which means that they probably won't, but I don't know. They're an interesting case. You know, I like their coach. I like Matt Rhule. I'm rooting for him. I hope that it works for him, but they've lost five in a row for a reason. And it goes beyond the injuries that they have. He's also learning how to win football games in the NFL as a rookie head coach. And that's a matchup that I think, as much as we don't like to say that Matt Patricia is a coaching matchup, I think his experience here can help the Lions this week.
I disagree. I'm going to disagree first, because I'm going to forget. Right. He is a heck of a matchup in the first quarter. He game plans. He does a great job this year in particular, game planning against other teams. The defense, the offense have done a great job, and then they just absolutely fall apart because they don't adjust. So he's really, really good at that first piece. But once things change on him, he's been epically bad.
Here's the problem, Chris. If you look at what happened to Carolina last week, Matt Rhule had the exact same problem. They were in that game against Tampa Bay in the first half. Yep. And then the third quarter hit and everything just went kablooey. And again, we got two coaches who don't adjust well in the second half that are going to be matching up against each other. One more thing, too. Hey, Riz, if Walker plays, do you wonder if Joe Brady's going to bring more of that LSU playbook into focus? Because
absolutely,
Walker reminds me a little bit with that mobility, and I'm not comparing him to him, but he does remind me a little bit with his mobility of Burrow, and he could probably operate the LSU playbook better than Will Grier could.
Definitely. It's some designed rollouts, some bootlegs, some things like that, things to move a rolling pocket to help their dilapidated offensive line. Those are certainly much more in play if they have PJ Walker under center.
Yep.
And Bridgewater, by the way, is not a threat to run even when he's healthy.
Right.
He gets sort of mislabeled that way, but he's not a runner at all.
Well, old Teddy was different than new Teddy. Let's be honest. He was more of a runner.
Pre and post knee injury. I mean, if you saw the knee injury, you're just impressed that he's back on the field, because that was freak nasty.
And after that happened, I'm sure he needed help with the pain, and he went to cbd.detroitlionspodcast.com to take care of that. We call that a segue in the business. CBD.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. You got insomnia, you got pain, or you got anxiety, you know how to take care of it. You go to CBD.DetroitLionsPodcast.com, and you can get the relief you want. It has the oil, which is great for all around, like I said, the sleep, the all three of those things. You put a couple drops of the oil under your tongue, and off you go, and it's good to go. Yeah, they have the gummies. The gummies I really like. I have to put new char little gummy squares. These are the Delta 8. I'll tell you, this is the difference. There's regular CBD, and then there's this stuff with the Delta 8. The regular CBD, if you just want the benefits of the CBD, that's where you go. If you want the benefits of the CBD and then plus a little something, why they put the warning label on this, this is how I finally figured out how to describe this. Legal in all 50 states. It's not weed or anything, but whatever the Delta 8 thing is, they'll probably eventually catch up with them. So anyway, there's two ways to do it. So if you want to keep your brain straight and go to work and you operate heavy equipment, get the standard CBD. If you're looking for something a little more of the chill, the Delta 8 line is the stuff for you. The creams don't do anything except make you feel better. The CBD creams are awesome on muscles. If you're working out and you have sore muscles, those are the key. My wife's had knots behind her shoulder blade. And a quick couple days, 2 or 3 days of the cream, make the pain go away, and then you went away for good. So get you through it. CBD.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. They give us a kickback. Got to let you know that. They give us a kickback when you buy something, but it doesn't cost you more. And it's a great way to support the show by taking care of yourself, both physically and mentally. How about that? I'm not segueing out of it. We're going right to Vegas. Let's talk.
Mental acuity is a good thing, Chris.
It is. Absolutely. I mean, during the workday, I would not recommend Delta 8.
No. That's why drink my beer.
Yeah, after five on a vacation week, hey, it's up to you, right? It's
5 o'clock somewhere. It's almost 5 o'clock here.
It's true. It's a long week. It's a, for many of us, we've got next week off. I actually have to go in on Monday though now because they just couldn't give it to me. Tony, you're going to work every day, including Thursday?
Yep, I'm working every day. And the reason I do that simply because when I did Lions, I was so used to working Thanksgiving. And if I do it now, I give somebody else the day off.
Sure.
And so they can enjoy it with their family. So I have no problem working on Thanksgiving morning. That's really awesome.
I got a
good on you, mate.
Did I tell you the story about when I was working radio in Detroit Christmas Eve?
Yes.
Riz knows it. Yeah.
I know it. Yes. I think we talked about it at Miller's too.
Maybe. I was 18.
Oh, the party.
Yeah, I had a party.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. It was good.
They weren't cool. Yeah, it was great. I gave everyone time off, but I found a way to make something out of it. All right, let's talk about Vegas, the line. Vegas has the Lions at -2, which, I mean, they're at home, so they should be -3, but whatever. Okay, so -2. You got the money line with Carolina, +112 Lions, -110. It's a pretty tight run.
That's not a lot of action. That's them saying, please don't bet on this game because we really don't know.
We don't know how to take your money on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And over under a 47, which I think I'm firmly in the under on this one.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Their defense. Yeah, probably. I mean, another injury that we didn't bring up, Dante Jackson, who is their best playmaking cornerback. He's not their best cover guy, but he's their best playmaker, is also doubtful with a toe injury. Seems unlikely that he will be at full speed. Not that you need to be at full speed when the Lions have no speed, but I digress.
They need to be at full speed.
Yes.
All the time. Because
that lends me that maybe there's a big play to Marvin Hall somewhere in the works. Maybe TJ Hockenson gets off against Jeremy Chinn, who's a really, really good player, except he can't cover tight ends. It's a very weird thing for a safety linebacker hybrid. He's a really good rookie, but he can't cover tight ends. If you watch the Tampa Bay game, you'd know that. Hockenson has a little bit of an advantage there. So maybe the aerial assault with Stafford, you know, throwing it and trying to overcome the loss of Swift by using
air raid.
Quintez Cephas and whoever else is out there.
Boy, I would love to see him.
I'm firmly on the under now. I just remembered our receiving core.
I would love to see Quintez Cephas grow some hands. I feel like at this point it was an absolutely wasted pick. It just feels like, and he came in with so much fanfare from Okuda, right? Who bolstered him, and it's just like he's been a non issue. And for a team who has so much pain at the wide receiver position and such a dearth of talent, you would expect somebody to be able to. I think KJ Hill would be playing, I'll tell you that much.
I think you could be playing.
Yep. The drops are frustrating, there's no doubt about it, but I think it's too early yet to say he's a bust. I want to give him one more year. And I like some of the things he's brought to the field. So I'm kind of a fan of Cephas, but drops are annoying.
Even the hype, like if you watched the game last night, DK Metcalf had a touchdown pass bounce off his face.
Yeah.
It happens to everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. And hopefully he get all of his out, Mr. Cephas.
Let's hope so.
All right. Let's talk about final outcomes. Let's get a prediction. Tony, what's your prediction here for this game this week?
I'm going flat with under because there's so many injuries in this game. We still don't know which quarterback is going to play for either team. But I think if you look at the rosters, the Lions are the better team coming into this game. I think they've got a little more on the ball, no pun intended, than the Panthers do at this point. So put me down for 21-17 Lions over the Panthers. But I think there's going to be a lot of running in this game. I think this is going to be a quick game. But I think the Lions have the edge on this one. Usually I would take the Panthers because they're home. This time I got to take the Lions.
All right, there you go. Riz, why is Tony wrong? And explain why you have
that. I was just thinking, like Tony's on the ball here, man. He said basically what I wanted to say. I do think that Carolina, I don't want to sell them short because they do still have some ability. But I'll say this. This is a game for the Lions offensive line to win the game. Yeah. And they do have a good matchup here. I know there's a lot of Lions fans out there that envy Brian Burns. He ain't beating Taylor Decker. That's not his style. Decker, he's a one note pass rusher. Decker's going to take care of that. They're going to run behind him. They're going to cut behind him, as teams have done very successfully against Burns all year. Adrian Peterson's going to get it rolling. He's going to get 80 yards on 18 carries and get a touchdown, and the Lions will win 22-17.
Ooh, there you go. All right. I'm also going with the Lions, and I'm going to flip the script a little bit. There's a reason the Lions are going to win. It's going to be a close game. But this is a real stinker of the game. This is nobody's game of the week. This isn't Vegas's game of the week. This isn't Fox's game of the week. If they had, if they could get the high school, the local Charlotte high school announcers to do this one, they would do that for this game right now. And these are the games where no one's watching that the Lions win. You put them on the big stage and they wilt in the lights every dang time. The scary part, and we'll talk about it with some of the other games, a win this week puts us in a really, really unique position in the division. So that does give us a little bit of opportunity to wilt. I think it's going to be the Lions, though. Flipping the average score, 24-21 Lions, still on, you know, securely in the under, and but walking away with Carolina with a win, a 5-5 record, maybe still the same record as the New England Patriots.
That'd be nice. Oh, by the way, we get Chris Spielman on the call this week, so that'll be fun.
Oh, there you go. That's actually better than I thought we were going to get. Chris is a good guy. Tony, you and him go way back.
Sort of. Yeah.
He played in your hometown. All right, let's see. Tony warned me about his internet.
Yes, he did. He's very good in Buffalo, too.
All right. Let's really quick. I'm going to do St. Jude. Don't forget about St. Jude. StJude.org/DLP. You saw Flounderish's give. We're still running that. Also, head to auction.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. We got a bunch of items on there and a lot of really, really great stuff. More to come starting tomorrow morning and through the weekend. You're going to see a lot of things go up there. This goes through December 18th. There's great Lions gear, signed memorabilia, certificates of authenticity, all that stuff with it. All great, great stuff. So please check it out. I've got to get over to Wayne's house this weekend to get his ball so we can get that up there. Get up, maybe pick up some Wild Wings.
Look at you hanging out with Wayne Fonts, all casually dropping that in here.
I told Tony he lives over behind the Buffalo Wild Wings, so I got to go by. All right. And then also don't forget about fanatics.detroitlionspodcast.com and amazon.detroitlionspodcast.com. Both great ways to support the show by doing important things. Very, very important things that you're going to do anyway. In the face of a lockdown and struggles everywhere, go to Amazon. Amazon.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. I don't know. I try to make it a emotional. What's the suspense filled drama moment? But it's everyone's had enough of 2020. All right. quick rundown on the rest of the games in the division, and this is where I think it makes things interesting. You've got the 5-5 Bears with a bye this week. Mm-hmm. You have the Vikings with the same record as the Lions, 4-5 right now, playing Dallas at home. And so here you could have the Bears, the Vikings, and the Lions all tied up at 5-5. And as Tony said, all playoff contenders. I mean, this meaningful game in December thing, it becomes really
happen. It's right there for the taking. It really is. You have to win this one, though, in order to make that happen.
Yep.
I feel very good about them beating Houston on Thanksgiving. That's 6-5, guys. That even if you lose the next two after that, you're still playing meaningful games in December.
As long as there's no red flags thrown on a four-set run on Thanksgiving, I think we got that game.
Oh.
That still burns.
Oh, by the way, the Packers could lose this weekend, too. They're playing at the Colts. The Colts are a very well-rounded football team that can give Aaron Rodgers some issues. So if you're looking to root for someone, root for the horseshoe.
Yeah, let them give it to them. All right, so there you go. That's the way the division lines up. This is crazy because you're right, Riz. We walk out 6-5 and then have a long time because we've got the Thanksgiving game. You got that extended time to heal up before your next game against the Bears, at the Bears. That's going to be the test. If we do pull away with these two games.
It's a good one.
That is going to be the test.
They could win 4 in a row.
Can you imagine coming away 7-5?
And then still wanting to fire Patricia, as I would. Yeah, that's going to be a tough sell for me.
Yeah. Don't worry, you're following that up with the Packers, Titans, and Bucks. So right now we're still just imagining, right? All right. With that, gentlemen, I thank you for your wonderful insights, your brilliant humor, and your ability to make me look competent. Without you guys, none of this would ever be able to pull off. So thank you very much. Remember, folks, this show needs your involvement. Use the comments in the subreddit to give us your feedback. And don't forget about us on Patreon. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. As little as $1 a month, or send your full paycheck. It's all good. As much as you want to send. We'll get you into the Slack chat. You can hang out with the smartest, most intelligent chatters in the world. Not that you have to agree with them. You can disagree. We all do it in a friendly and wonderful way. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, Instagram, Detroit Lions Podcast, and on the Twitter machine, you got it this time, Riz, at DET Lions Podcast, DET Lions Podcast, the best place to see Riz.
With no pants or microphone.
With no pants and an oversized microphone. All right, give us a call via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word. I made him go, hey, look, he's turning red.
I drink to that.
All one word. Or call us on the Lions line at 929-33-LIONS, 929-335-4667. Be sure to go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com, subscribe to the podcast so we can pop our magic microphones in your ears automatically. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. Remember, no pants, no toasters, no hot tubs. No problems, babe, because we're your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags, start the plane. This show